Thank you for choosing this podcast today. You are in the right space. Here at We Seal Genesis podcast, it's about remaining active to the Almighty's calling within our sphere of influence, using the beautiful gifts He's already made present within us. Many times, the difference in upbringing, culture, and experiences can blind us from actualizing these truths and gifts. Every now and then, we like to bring in people who we identify as reflecting Christ within their sphere of influence. So welcome, and I'm Shadia, and today on the couple series, we have a lovely couple as guests. As friends, we familiarize because we went to high school together. As a couple, they run the loveproject.gh. They are parents, and in fulfilling purpose, they run the ICGC Cornerstone together. Let's meet the Alates. Welcome to the We Seal Genesis podcast.
Hi, Shadia. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
So good to be on here. We're such huge fans, so it's good to be guests on here.
Thank you. I'm really grateful, and I'm so thankful that even after so long since we last did the last recording that didn't end up coming out, we are here again today, so thank God for that.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
You are welcome. And I just want to go ahead straight up and pick on Harry. So who is Harry?
very interesting question. Harry is a Christian gentleman who passion for is significant influence in his journey. Of Harry.
Wow. And I mean, I've had a little chance to know you as an individual, obviously in school, and now I have the opportunity to know you as my pastor. So I would like to know the other side of you, like as a parent, as a husband, who's Harry?
Well, I think I am a very, I like to think I'm a fun husband. I know I'm not romantic. That's what my wife tells me.
He's working on it. It's been quite slow, but he's trying.
Yeah, but I think as a husband, I take my marriage very seriously. I think that as a husband, it's important for me to be committed. It's important for me to be responsible. It's important for me to also, you know, have a vision for my family and to be able to lead my family along that vision as well. Obviously, that vision must be anchored in what God says in His Word concerning what a husband should do as well. As a father, not having a father in my life as well, opened a significant opportunity for me to that I don't have to repeat the mistakes of my dad. So I try to be very present in the life of my kids. I try to be responsible by taking care of their needs. And I also try to model a very good example for them of who a father should be and who a husband should be, so that one day when they grow up, they will have a very good picture of what they should look out for when they're also making their own life decision as well. So I try to be the best that I can in both situations, but I will be the best judge if I'm doing a good job. But I.
So actually, that was a test question you passed it, because yes, I obviously follow the Love Project on YouTube. I mean your YouTube channel, and it's very inspiring that this support that you're talking about, we actually do see it supporting your wife with a lot of different projects that she's involved in, and also of course like showing up for all the single and married conferences and stuff that we do on Zoom. So yeah. So yeah, you passed that question actually. Okay, so moving further, now we want to know how Inshira is built or is building a supporting role for Harry and her family, and of course your church members and every other thing that you're involved in.
Yeah, I really like because I think I've got something like that, like the support. But I think that is what I do, you know. One of the reasons why it was easy to I do to Harry and wanting to marry him was because I tell to know what you want, you have to know your value, you have to know your worth, you have to know the area of influence that God has called you to function in, because it's only when you understand who you are, where you're going, your values, your morals, all of these things, that you can figure out who can take you along the journey and who you can support as well, you know. So when Harry and I started kind of ticking all the boxes, and we have the same value system, you're someone I respected, thing that I was looking for was this somebody that I could submit to, because the Bible tells us that we should submit to our own boyfriends, not our fiancés, our husbands. So I needed to find someone that I could submit to. And listen to Harry, the more that I listened to his vision for life, what he wanted, his values, his ethics, the type of things that he stood up for, how he treated people, how he respected my dreams and my vision, I knew that I could submit to him, you know. And so when I said I do, I did that of knowing that this is someone that I could follow, this is someone that I could submit to. So in the role of being a wife, I gladly submit to him being the head of my family and him being submitted to Christ, because I know that once he's submitted to Christ, then I definitely submit to his leadership. I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I think of myself as an awesome wife.
Yeah, you.
And I find my role as someone who is here the best that God called him to. And to be the person who encourages him, to be the person who helps him to see who he is, even if he might not be walking in that reality.
Yeah.
One of the things God gives us as spouses, that we are able to see into our spouses, and God gives us the opportunity to see who he has created them to be. And so part of my role of being a supportive wife is to continue to push Harry and to say, babe, you got this, babe, you can do this. More that you can do, this is not the end, you know. So kind of be his moral, his personal cheerleader.
Not
him, but and accelerating him into who God has called him. Not just as an individual, but as a family, as a different opportunities that I think would be great for him. I push him into it. I encourage him to do it. Yeah. Also, bringing my strengths inside him. And the Bible talks about iron sharpeneth iron. So I believe my strength and what I bring on board is as well. So making sure that I show up in 100%. I don't show up being lazy. I don't show up being jealous. I don't show up being upset, but I show up giving my all to him. And yeah, so I think that was question.
Ding 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 ding. It's not even first half and Harry already has 10 points. Is she right? You're still in 2 points. So we need to balance this.
We need to balance the equation.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing to hear. And I can personally also vouch, knowing Harry, I feel like I've known Harry more in my adult life than when I was younger, because, and I can see that reflection that you're talking about, that support, because clearly Shira is the talker and Harry is the quiet one. But even now, Harry talks so much more, so So that's true. I really love what you said, and definitely a lot more women should stand up to this. So I heard from a very reputable source, which is your wife. She mentions on an interview recently she had that you were only required to bring in a ring and a Bible for her customary marriage, or your customary marriage.
Yeah,
that was it's a shock to you as it was a shock to me when Isha told me that's what the parents required.
Because it's usually like a tall list for most Ghanaians.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you put it in a suitcase? I just want to know. Because usually, I don't know. Like...
There was no suitcase. I think you just brought it.
Yeah, I just brought it. I think that... looking back now, if I'm to reflect on why I think your parents did that, I think that first of all, they probably didn't want to bring the young man because, you know, in Ghana, the tall list that sometimes can be burdensome sometimes, and
right.
sometimes can also be unreasonable in some cases.
Yeah,
and I also think that, you know, they wanted to emphasize on the importance of the role that God's word plays in the life of a couple. And as well as what's the symbolism of the ring, the reminder of the love and faith that we share with each other. So I think that they wanted those two elements to be a very important part of our marriage, and to guide us through the marriage as well. So I think that the rest would have been was not important to them, and I agree with that. So as much as I'm grateful to her parents, first of all, for making it easy for me in that
regard, saving you some money.
But I think that what was much more important for me was the message
behind it.
I think that that's what made much more impact in my life, and I think that I hope to replicate that as well for our kids as well. So that was good for us.
My parents always they always redefine things. Always make the Bible so practical. And I remember when my sister was getting married, my older sister, she was the first to get married. So this Bible thing, we had never heard of it before. Mm-hmm. And my dad asked for, they asked for a Bible and a ring. And I think that for us as kids, we were not too shocked because, I mean, mom and dad are always doing things like that. I think that they always remind us that the Bible is supposed to be central to your life, and the Bible is so practical and should be able to apply it to every aspect of our life. The fact that something is cultural or traditional doesn't mean we have to do it. You know, we as Christians have the right and the ability to use the Bible as a cultural map. And I think that for us, a Bible is foundational to our faith.
Right.
And for them, I'm sure they were thinking that for your marriage to succeed, you need the authority of God's word. Like, you both have to be in the word, you both have to be submitted to the word, and you both have to live according to the word. And the ring is a reminder of the never-ending love that you share for each other.
Right.
So, I think that our marriage is what it is because we took it so personal, and it was different. It was different, but it made sense. Like, you think about it, you're like, you know what, this makes sense.
It was truly customized. That's really interesting, and I mean, I've thought about things like that, and I've wondered why, like, a lot of Christians don't stand up to things like that. So actually, when I heard that, I was very impressed. Because sometimes we tend to put ourselves first. So for me, the message that it screams is, no matter what you do, present your case to God first.
Exactly.
And then figure it out. And that's really profound.
Yeah, because, you know, like, the drinks and whether it's laptop or money, all those things will pass away. You know,
right.
all those things will go, but the word of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why wouldn't you want something that is constant and consistent as the anchor of your marriage? So
it also screams like a lot of selflessness, because obviously Harry's not buying you.
Exactly. Like, and that was another thing, because like Dad would always say, there's no way you can pay us back for the type of investment that we've put into here. And I mean, you can't even give birth to me. Like, you can't pay my mom for going to labor. Like, you can't do that. So we are not asking that you pay us back. I remember there was one thing he said that was, I was like, dude, like, wow. Because he said that, I don't need anybody to pay me back for the investment I put in my children. It was my responsibility as a father, and I'm proud of it. Like, I don't need anyone to pay me back. Like, this is what I was brought on earth to do as well, and I'll do it gladly over and over again. So how am I not supposed to pay back anything? He's starting a new life. And that is all that matters with me. Yeah.
And that's really good. I know that Harry is still challenged, because it's like he's like saying, this matter is between you and God, and is so much more than anything. So my second question about that, back to Harry, you've not escaped jail time, because if they didn't take that money, I want to know what that money was used for. Was there a honeymoon?
Oh yes, there was a honeymoon.
Yeah,
it was a very fun honeymoon.
Yeah,
we had some good money to spend, I guess.
We literally spent a lot of money on the honeymoon. So
that's really good.
Yeah,
that's really, really good.
We had a good time.
This is just a bonus question. What would you recommend that couples do in terms of like a living situation? And any of you can just answer this right after marriage. What would you think the ideal thing would be as a starting couple when it comes to a living arrangement, like renting, buying, like?
I think that it depends. There are some couples that, you know, they are from a family that can afford to get them a place. So by the time they get to mine, they already live. They already have a house that they own. There are others that can afford house. And there are others that can afford to rent. I think that it all depends on what you can afford.
Right.
But it's sustainable. We don't want anything that breaks the bank and puts additional pressure on you. I don't think that that is the wisest decision. I think that a decision should be well thought of. You know, definitely depending on your financial situation, you can decide to live in a more comfortable place. But you know that this is our starting point. This is not our end. You know, everybody starts as small. Whether you start in a mansion or you start in a hut, it's a small. You know, there's always big.
Right.
So this is just the beginning. And so we are ready to sacrifice what we have to sacrifice for the future we want to see. So for me, it's not like a straight answer. It's just based on whether it's affordable for the couple, and they pick it up from there. Babe, do you have another perspective?
Oh, no, I agree with you.
Okay, so that's great. Interestingly enough, for the next phase of questions that I have, it tends to focus more on you being together as a couple and doing a lot of things together. Our last guest that came on the podcast, they're called Need Worship. The wife actually sings, and then the husband plays instruments. And I tend to find that a lot of couples that I gravitate to like to come on this show have things in common. Like, they're always doing something to support each other. So I wanted to ask that, will you suggest that having similar interests in common, like as your mission together as a couple, does that strengthen your commitment to each other? Or like, I don't know if you get my question.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that it I think that if once the couple, you know, once the values are similar and, you know, they agree on some significant things, I think that eventually their mission lines up. The challenge is how to discover the mission before you get married to the person.
Okay.
To
say, so it has to be before.
Yeah, that it can be a bit challenging. Sometimes you don't exactly know the entire mission of the person. You have an idea of where the person senses that they are going to, and you feel like it's something you can be part of, but it unfolds over time, especially when you get married, because you will not know that in its entirety before you get married. So but when you get married and you begin to discuss, or before you get married and you're discussing some of the things, your goals, your ambition, your purpose, you feel like, well, there are certain things that you align with, and that can work. But how it would eventually work out, you might not necessarily get those details until you are married and you put it into action. For example, I didn't know that we'll have a YouTube channel, you know, talking about relationships and family. I didn't know that. I mean, it was something we discussed in the pandemic. I mean, Insha had a very strong sense at it, and I felt like, oh yeah, it would be good for me to also, I mean, be part of it and see how it goes. And I'm glad I went on that journey. If you left for Harry alone, I won't be on YouTube.
That's so funny.
I wanted to bring that perspective so that the couples know that it's not everything that you necessarily be aligned to directly, but if your spouse is doing it and you feel comfortable, you can partner them and do it as well. Sometimes your spouse can encourage you to do something that, or take you out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
So that is also very important that the couple also have that idea as well.
And I also think that it's not always that you would do something together. I mean, there are times that, like for Harry and I, it was along the way that we started really working together. We didn't work together at the beginning of our marriage. It was the more that we just talked and discussed things. They were like, you know what, we can work with, and I'm work together all the time. But I tend to tell couples that just look at different things you have in common. And the most common thing you have in common is either like the kids, or even like the marriage is definitely something you have in common because you want to see it work. So you don't necessarily have to sing and you sing the piano, or you're both pastors, or you're both on YouTube, but there are things that you share in common. And you have to be able to discover those things. They might not be as visible. They might not be as out there as other people's. But if you have kids, you are sharing the kids in common. So that becomes your common mission. You can be a banker and a lawyer, but you have that in common. You have to work together to make sure that that works and you are successful with it. You know, so I think that... those are some of the dynamics that I tend to see when it comes to finding things in common. But we always have things in common, you know. I think that it will be interesting to marry someone that you have nothing in common with.
I agree. You know? And ladies and gentlemen, if you actually, I don't want Inshira and Harry to spill out so much, because they actually do have a beautiful program. I've actually been in one, so I guess I would put the link in this podcast so people can reach out to you for your like counseling services and your periodic programs that you have for singles and couples. Is that a good deal?
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so so recently, ICGC Cornerstone, of course, hosted a very wonderful conference. What inspired this theme of there is more? Because honestly, after this conference, I have so much more like mind-blowing things I keep finding in the Word, and it's just amazing. So I just want to know, what did this come through, like a prayer session together, or was this...
Babe, do you want to take it? Do you want to start it off?
Yeah, I think that for us, the theme there is more is a reminder of God's purpose for our lives and his assignment concerning each one of us. And the fact that there's always the tendency to always want to think that everything that we've experienced is all that God can do. And there's also always a tendency to want to always predict what God can do in our lives. But all through scriptures, we see how God has used people seemingly insignificant, who many didn't expect much from their lives, and how when they were able to partner with God, God was able to use them to accomplish much. And we're very challenged by those testimonies in scriptures to more or less encourage ourselves that there's much more that God has called us to do, especially in this pandemic, when many people have had to redefine their lives and think about what they want to do, and feel, you know, like, you know, this disruption has come to affect God's purposes for their life. We believe that that's what they need. We believe that God has much more than we've seen. And if we don't challenge ourselves, if we don't stretch ourselves to believe God for much more, I think that we will look back in hindsight years later and realize that we actually didn't do all that God has called us. For Insha and I, we believe that this is a wake-up call, not to settle, not to be complacent, not to be bloated by the praises of other people, because you have to be very careful who praises you about what you've done.
Right.
So we're not moved by all that. We are challenged to stretch. We are challenged to go further. We are challenged to believe God for bigger things. And it's only by doing those things that we can actually see our purposes unfold as well. So I think for us, it's a wake-up call.
Yeah, I think totally in line with Harry. Cornerstone was turning 5 years old, and I think that we're just looking back at how the church started and how old we were when we started and how young we were looking when we started and naive we were. Just holding on to God's word and telling God that if he sent us, then we believe that he has something for us. And 5 years down the lane, we just sat in awe. Just looking back at what God had used us for, because we keep telling people that, you know, it's not like there's anything extraordinary about Harry and I. We know our weaknesses, we know our faults, we know the things that we lack, but we are also aware that once we partner with God, he's able to overshadow our weaknesses and exchange our weaknesses with his strength, and he's able to use us for mind-blowing things that we never expected. And we had seen just a taste of it in 4 years, and we knew that what we were doing 4 years ago could not be compared, because God is a God of much more. He is not limited. He has no limits. He has no boundaries. And so once we tap into God and God is our source, then we are confident that what we've seen is just a little, but what is in the future can be much more. So we are the type of people that are never settled. We are never comfortable till we see God use us fully. And so we know that in the next 5 years or the next 10 years, there's much more that we're going to see God use us for. That even though we are young, we might look insignificant in the eyes of people. we are still, you know, we are still a mighty tool in the hand of our maker. So we're excited to see the more that God has for us. More always means that there's a cost, because there's a cost for more.
Yeah.
And a lot of young people want more, but we are not ready to pay the price for it. Ready to work for it. We are not ready to sow for it. We're not ready to put in the hours for more. It's not like God... and that's ends it. You will just see increase, boom, just like that. No, you actually have to work it out to make sure it happens. And so for us, we are telling our congregation that we know there's more, but we know that we also have to put in the work for more. So we are going to be doing a lot of trainings. We are going to be pushing ourselves. We are going to be stretching ourselves because we are getting ready to receive the more that God has for us.
I like that you touched on a lot of points in this question, because it's actually leading me into my next question. I know that as believers, you know, we believe in the word of God, and many generations have faced like different things. For me, what I notice in our generation now is that there's like a lot of conflicting ideas. Social media, of course, has placed a lot of emphasis on individual control. So that's one thing that's really challenging people to truly like believe in what God says, because this is what we're seeing. And of course, like it says in Proverbs, like what we feed our eyes with is what is constantly like is what we become. So for me, my question now is, these pressures are now like reflecting in so many ways. We have a lot of people with anxiety. We have very young children like suffering with depression. They're killing themselves. There's a lot of jealousy, burnout. So like as parents, as young parents, in what ways do you think our generation can reflect on who God is for like your kids?
Yeah, this is a really good question. You know, I think that we're having a conversation about like burnout and depression. I think it was yesterday actually. And you know, with COVID as well, it just came to just heighten everything else. And I think that for us as parents, one of the things that is a priority for us is that because the world is fast-paced now, everything and all things is on social media, from comparison to which leads to anxiety and depression, all the things that you spoke about, burnout, because we are grinding it day in and day out. We try to, a lot of people talk about like a work-life balance, and for us it's more of a work-life hierarchy, because we try to balance our lives, and we realize that it's difficult to balance, you know, because for us God has to be our priority. God, the amount of time we give to God cannot be the amount of time we give anything else. So we cannot balance God with life. We cannot balance God. God is above it. So for us, we give God a greater percentage of our lives. And because, you know, I can only be the wife, a good wife, if I'm submitted to God. You know,
yeah.
I can only be the mother that I want to be if God is my source. The pastor I want to be if God is my source. The woman I want to be if God is my source. So I have to make sure that that connection with God is constant. I need to be able to sit at his feet. I need to be able to read his word, understand his word, apply his word, talk to him, meditate on his word. So God is first for us as a family, as a couple. And then our marriage, our family is next, because our first ministry is our children. And spending time with them, teaching them, modeling a Christian life to them is key for us. I tell people all the time that I'm so busy that I feel like sometimes I don't spend a lot of time with my kids. So when I'm home and they're home, I try as much as possible to pull my phone away and spend time with them, because I want to be a presence mom. I want to be the mom that they remember as someone who modeled Christ, someone who prayed with them, somebody who was there for them, you know. So those are some of the things that we do. We are trying to bring a lot of structure to our lives, because once you have structure, tell if something is out of place. It is difficult to tell if something is out of place if everything is on the same level, if you're giving percent to everything. But now I can sit back and say, Insha, like I can now know that I'm not spending time with my husband. I'm rather giving more time to my work, which my work is not supposed to be at the same level with my husband. So I'm able to sit down and reevaluate myself and get back on track. So And that for me helps with like burnout and depression and all of those things, because once I'm able to order my life, I think that I'm approach it better, and I think it just gives me a better perspective for my family and for my the different things that we juggle on the side as well, and now of course for my job.
Yeah, just like you said, I think that for us just to add, we relate to our kids and all that's happening on social media, we try to be present, we try to also model what the Christian life should be like, so that they can see the examples for themselves. That is very important in our generation, and I think that as we are present, we're able to then once we build that relationship with our kids, when they have questions, they need clarity, they can easily come to us, and that will help us also guide them along the way. So I think just being present and available and being good examples, just to add to what Nishara said, is one of the things that we're trying to do, but we are still learning, and
Yes, I really like how both of you have put it. Of course, like, we can't really control everything that's happening in the world, but what we can do is control ourselves. So yes, of course, putting in order, in like you said, Harry, bringing like being present and kind of like monitoring and being that shadow for them, I think that's a really great advice. So we're almost at the end of our interview, and of course I don't want you to leave without us going into what you do for fun. There's like, I really don't know how you two do it, because yeah, you really have a lot going on, but you always seem to have time for everything. So how do you chill out from everyone?
we you know, it's sometimes hard to chill, but you know, we spend a lot of time together. Like, most of the time, if you call me, I'm right next to Harry, because we do a lot of things together. So as much as it is work, we also try to make sure that we find pockets of time that we are spending together. And one of the things that we love doing is going for evening rides. We go and buy kebab or ice cream, and we just sit in the car and we talk and we laugh and we dream about the future. We sometimes go to restaurants, even though there's COVID now, we just take the food to go.
Yeah.
So we just sit in the car and chill. So we do a lot of that. We also Netflix and chill all the time. So we just try and do what normal people do. But with the kids, it's difficult. You know, with kids, you know, we have three, so it's a bit difficult to steal away time, but we do try, whether it's like on our way to church, if it's just us in the car, we are vibing, we are talking, we are laughing. If it's a way to visit a church member, if it's a way for like an interview or a project,
right,
we just find like drives. You know, our drive time is really our bonding time, and then when we get home, we Netflix and chill. Babe, did I miss anything else?
No, I think
he's yet to take me on like the trips, you know, the exotic trips.
That's coming. It's coming. I really appreciate you two finding time again to come on this podcast. I'm truly grateful. I'm truly grateful to know the two of you. I think that you've given me a lot of inspiration since last year, because I only discovered that you had like a congregation even in 2020. I never knew.
Wow.
Yeah, I never knew. And of course, like, every time I watch your YouTube channel, it's very fun. It's very organic and real. And I just must let you know, from us here and our whole family watching you, you're doing a very great job. So thank you for finding time to come here. Any last words or any words of advice
for couples?
Well, anything that comes to your mind.
Yeah, I mean, just for me, the last words, just, you know, the amazing work that you're doing, Shady. We're truly proud of you, and you have no idea how far and wide your podcast is going and what God has for you. And we're grateful that we have you in that space to be a great influence, and we know that there is more for you, and we can't wait to see all that God has for you. We're grateful to be part of your life as well. God bless you so, so much.
God bless you. I definitely don't have anything to add to that. Totally agree.
So awesome. So listeners, there we have PN and PH. I'm going to put all the links to all their social media handles, their YouTube channel. Meettheallotes.com is where you can find all types of counseling sessions. And I almost forgot, there's a girl talk coming up. Do you want to quickly?
Yes. So one of the things that we started last year was the Love Project. And the vision, the mission of the Love Project is to help individuals and couples build the relationship that they've always wanted. And so we started off with our workshops, which we still do. And we also have something we call Love Convos. And Love Convos is just conversations with real people about like their relationship and stuff like that. So this year we're doing Love Convos Live. And we're just going to have a girl talk. And so that's happening on the 20th of November, and it's going to be at Cornerstone Temple. And listen, it's just, we're just vibing as women, because I really love conversations. I'm the type of person that tend to learn a lot by hearing other people talk, and people's stories is such an inspiration to me. And so I think that for us as Christian women, we need authentic, real, godly conversations, because life is so hard out there for us as women. Right. There's so much information out there. So for Girl Talk this year, we're going to be talking about submission, and I'm super excited about the topic, because yeah, I feel like it's so needed, and I can't wait to hear the perspectives of our different guests who are coming on. I think it's going to be really good. So if you're a lady and you want a chill night, check us out, Girl Talk, 20th November, 5 p.m. And they can register at meettheallotes.com.
Awesome. I will be sure to put that in the chat. We've had a very wonderful time. I respect them. This is now time as a couple for them to be who they are, and as parents to go back to their lives. So thank you for a great hour session, and we will see you soon again. Thank you for coming on. Have a good night.
thank you so much, Ade. Thank you to your listeners. Have a good night.
Good night.
Yes.